You're listening to the Laugh Button Podcast on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Dude, I need to become a hip-hop star.
Why is this, Matt Kleinschmidt?
Because I was just busting out a fat ass beat on this table. I mean, was there another reason why?
I don't know. It was just weird. You're basically letting everyone know that today we're recording live from the echo chamber that is the hallway of Laugh Button Studios.
We're in the studio.
Yeah, it's like we're.
There's someone on the roof, by the way. I don't know if you hear that. They're not going to hear it through these microphones. Yeah.
Oh, really? You know, I've never been up on the roof. I got to go up there.
Yeah.
Where's the ladder for
that? It's that rickety-ass ladder over around the corner.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, okay, that's cool. I mean, are there photos of people up on the roof? That'll work.
I mean, I think maybe, possibly.
As soon as you said rickety-ass ladder, that's like, that's the, you know, that's a red flag for me. That's something I'm going to climb.
No.
Yeah, it's a no for me. I'll take your word for it that there is a roof and someone's on it. So Matt was banging with a dry erase board eraser and making some fat beats with that.
I know. I was making some sick beats.
Speaking of beats, everyone in the Laugh Button offices, they associate you with Matty Beats at some point.
It was a someone nickname that I got many, many years ago.
Yeah, like, what's the origin story,
honestly,
of Matty Beats?
I wish I had a better answer other than it was a nickname that I got years ago in the office. Just someone started calling me that one day. I don't remember the context in which it came, but it was years ago.
Well, at least it's a cool nickname. It's not like you had to defend yourself or...
No. I wish there was a better story. Yeah. I really do. There's just not one. So it's
cool.
Just,
glad I asked.
Listen, man, I'll create one. So I was in a band.
Yeah.
And I used to play the drum machine.
Well, you were a bass player. Wait, you were in a band.
I played
bass
in a terrible cover band in high school.
What was the name of the cover band? Give me the name of the cover band. That way I can guess what band.
No, we weren't like a tribute band. We played covers by many, many people.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't like, you know, the B Street Band. We just played nothing but Springsteen covers. Sure. It was like that.
By the way, if there's a B Street Band out there.
That's the Trump inauguration band that dropped out just the other day. Yeah, they're called the B Street Band. They dropped out, quote, in respect to Bruce's music.
But by the way, those people are dropping like flies.
Oh, they confirmed?
These are cover bands that are dropping like flies. This isn't Bruce Springsteen decided to not play. This is
the Bruce Springsteen, tribute band.
Tribute band is like, no disrespect to Bruce. We're out.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Hollywood and them celeb types don't have love for Trump. I don't tell you.
Man.
Yeah. So we were in a cover band, and here's the thing about our band. We changed our name all the time. Like literally, I don't know if we ever played two battle, quote unquote, battle of the bands with the same name.
With the same name.
The only
you entered a battle of the bands as a cover band?
We did a couple battle of the bands.
As a cover band.
Oh, dude, this battle of the bands was, everyone was doing a cover
band. Oh, nobody was, no original music.
There was also, the frame, the time of my life this was, I was 16, 17. I had the ability to drive at some point, because I remember driving to this event.
So this is right around Pinkerton.
And this was when Killing Me Softly by the Fugees was just everywhere.
Sure.
So like every battle of the bands, there was like the rock group, there was the rap group, there was the hip hop group, there was a country group, there was like the soul R&B singer. Every woman that sang soul R&B sang Killing Me Softly.
Sure.
I literally remember going to a cover of the a battle of the bands where like Killing Me Softly was performed like three times.
That's so bad. Now, which version of Killing Me Softly? Because
it was like the Fugees version.
So that's a cover, right?
Of a cover.
Yeah. So they were covering a cover.
Yeah, at a battle of the bands.
Oh my God!
I'm proud of
going. No. It's just funny to me because hopefully they all knew it was already a cover. But to cover a cover is very weird. It'd be like, hey Matt, dude, you got to come check out Thrill Driver's next show. We're covering Cake's version of War Pigs.
You know what I mean? By the way, Cake's version of War Pigs is dope.
That's what I'm saying. So it'd be like, we just love that better than the original version. So we're gonna cover that.
Pretty much everyone that covers like the Jeff Buckley Hallelujah song, or everyone that covers the Leonard Cohen Hallelujah song, is doing the Jeff Buckley version of of it.
Pretty much.
And the Jeff Buckley version is a John Cale, is basically a take on the John Cale version of it.
Right.
Because Leonard Cohen's version of that's very different. He had like a the lore of that song is he had like 30 different sets of lyrics that he used. He could never kind of get the lyrics.
Right.
John Cale saw him perform it live once and said, "Hey, can you fax me the lyrics to that? I want to get it," and got like pages of it. And John Cale kind of distilled it to its essence. And then put on a Leonard Cohen tribute. That's the one that Jeff Buckley liked, and that's the one Jeff Buckley covered.
Sure.
And then Bob's Your Uncle.
So funny.
So that was a cover of a cover of a cover. If you did Hallelujah, you're doing cover of a cover of a cover.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. Anyway, so back to my performances in the cover band. The only name that I remember of us, of one of the names we had, and I don't know why I don't remember the other names, was Uncle Sam's White Elephant was the name. Oh, yeah, I know. I see your face. Someone saw it somewhere in a book,
sure.
Somewhere, and it was like, oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God, that's great. That's our name.
Awesome.
It came to
and
us.
This is also like the same time like the alternative rock was big, so like
sure.
You would go to like any beach, you know, shore stopping, and it's like, you know, photos of like Yin Yangs and like aliens and like,
yes.
You remember the aliens were
sure,
like a big like
a
alien
huge,
heads and like
huge.
Those giant like Cat in the Hat hats. Like, yeah, it was a weird fucking time. Like, the 90s nostalgia's back, but, like, none of the shit part of it has come with it so far.
Well, you trim the fat when you
read. It's been, like, Full House. That's the 90s nostalgia. So, yeah, so I remember that. I remember at one point someone sketched Uncle Sam's White Elephant, the logo, in, like, terrible lettering, and drew an alien wearing one of these Cat in the Hat hats. It was so bad.
So it was everything all one shot.
Someone in the band did that. It wasn't me, but it was so terrible. And we covered, like, Cream songs. We covered Hendrix. We covered some modern... I remember covering...
All right, so you can play bass. So you can play bass.
I'm terrible. I'm fucking horrendous.
Well, you were... I mean, these are...
Literally, Sunshine of Your Love is literally the first song everyone learns on bass. That or Smoke on the Water is the first. Well, Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple is the first.
I thought it was that. I thought it was that White Zombie song. You know, the
Thunderkiss 65. Thunderkiss 65 is a big one. But if you're really good, you don't go Thunderkiss 65. You go. You skip a couple tracks ahead on that album and go Black Sunshine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great song.
Great album.
Great album. I like that album too.
Kids, White Zombie is Rob Zombie's band before he went solo.
Yeah, right.
If you don't know, but yeah. So we would do that, and we were terrible. We won a battle of the bands once, but not the one.
By default, you were the only one entered?
Well, there was a point where we couldn't play anywhere because like, it was like we were a bunch of 16-year-old kids. Like, where are you fucking playing? Like, other than like your younger brother's basement party. So we actually started putting on cover band battle of the bands at our school. We do it like once a quarter or something like that. And be like, oh, okay. And all of our friends are in other bands and whatnot. And we won one of those, which was funny because I hosted the whole thing. And then we performed, and then we had three judges. I think two of them were teachers, and one was someone else. And they picked us as the winner. So I'm literally announcing the winner on stage. I'm like, and the winner is my band. So that's how that battle of the bands went.
Amazing.
And then there was a couple of people that kind of jokingly said, like, fix, blah, 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 and they're fucking with us. But, like, I think anyone just wanted an excuse to get on stage and, like, show those 16-year-old guitar chops, which none of us had.
That's amazing. All right, well, everyone, this episode of the Laugh Button Podcast, I'm going to process all that.
Okay, yeah, just process it.
I wasn't skipping over it. I was just like thinking to myself, like, I got to sit on that for a little
bit.
Sit
on it,
before
that's fine.
I can react
to
it.
That's fine, that's my brush with fame.
Because I know that there are photos, possibly videos.
There probably
available.
Are. And you know what? For some reason, I thought it was cool to play barefoot. So there's definitely...
Why did... Everybody,
it's every cliche, dude.
It's so funny. Everybody did. I even did that once as a drummer, and I'm like, I'm in New York City. Who the fuck knows what I'm stepping on in these stages?
Dude, to be
I'm like,
16,
when was Iggy Pop here last?
I'm walking
on that barefoot.
To be 16 and the stupidest person on the planet. Sure. To literally think you know everything and to know fucking nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Which is what you are about to become.
Exactly.
All right. So this episode, speaking of music, our guest on this episode of the Laugh Button Podcast is a huge, massive music fan.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful comedian as well. And she's got some great news that she needs to spread. And at the time we taped this interview, it actually was her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Which was pretty cool. And we invented a brand new birthday / lunch resort that you'll learn about that's... that we're going into business together with.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to be great. But Cristela Alonso is our guest on this episode, and she's got some big things coming her way. And, you know, she had a a very frustrating, maybe frustrating experience with network television. You know, she got her own show.
Yeah, ABC.
And she, yeah, she broke down some barriers with her being the first female and like Mexican, all Mexican family, like a show on television, that kind of thing.
Now, I have a question about that. Wasn't the George Lopez show before that?
Yeah, and I think that's why I say female. Like, oh, because okay, she wrote it, she produced it, she starred in it. So, so she was the female version of the Lopez. George Lopez.
Right. And really, there wasn't one before that.
No.
Like, not even, I guess Freddie Prinze, but like Chico and the Man, but that was like, he was probably the only Hispanic character on that show, if I'm not mistaken.
So. Again, female, whatever. Yeah. The point is that it was a pretty cool thing.
I'm just trying to get to the facts.
Sure, sure.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And what's weird is now it feels like that's all ABC's doing.
Oh, yeah. Blackish, fresh off the boat.
Sure. You think they right now would be the perfect time to have Cristela on?
Well,
right?
Actually, that didn't. That's, I mean, that's all around the same time. I mean, they gave it a shot.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
It might have been too soon. I mean, because like they had Modern Family and Blackish, which is earning a ton of nominations. And Blackish also made the news recently. It made with the first return episode from its hiatus, and it kind of tackles race in America post-election of the 2016 election.
Trump was brought up and discussed.
And Anthony Anderson gives this beautiful monologue about, like, you know, race in America and how the struggle of the black man for all these years and or the black person, not even the black man, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful monologue. And so it's interesting because ABC really does have that little niche, and Cristela might have just been a season or so too early, you know.
Yeah. But it's all good.
Yeah,
she's doing great because she's going to be a part of Cars 3 from Pixar, and that's huge news. And
by the way, what a traumatizing trailer! The first teaser trailer where you see like Lightning McQueen like crashing. It's like
crashing, and it's all downhill.
Yeah.
Well, crazy. You know, it's the kids are getting older. You know, you got to remember that
they're getting older, but they're not. They're not like teenagers.
Well, think about the same transformation like Harry Potter went through, right?
Or like a Toy Story 3 where like it addressed like Andy outgrowing the need for these toys.
Right, like it got real. Yeah, sure. So you're on Cars 3. You know, it's been, when did the first Cars come out? Like 6 years ago already? 7, 8 years ago?
Well, the second one was more of a focus on Larry the Cable Guy, like Mater, his character Mater, if I'm not mistaken. Like he was more the, because Larry was huge when that came out. But I also remember Cars 2 not having the same resonating effect as Cars 1.
Yeah.
But the Cars 1 was also massive.
It was awesome.
I mean, for Pixar,
I saw it at the drive-in.
Even I feel like even a Pixar fail is still a gigantic win.
Like The Good Dinosaur, right?
Was that Pixar?
Yeah, exactly. Was that Pixar?
I didn't know.
Didn't even know. And no one saw it in the theater. It still did really well. It made a bunch of money.
Because like you buy these movies, you watch them as children. Children want them and watch them over and over again. And
yeah, it flew under the radar.
I mean, like
I
don't have children myself, but I have friends that have children. And my one friend, he comes to the house. His child wants to watch one of two things every time he's at the house. He wants to watch Minions or Cars. I mean, that's
I love Minions, man. Yeah, Minions is good. All right, some other big news. And we discussed this, I believe, earlier on the podcast. With everyone heading to Netflix, like Amy Schumer's at Netflix.
We had this huge debate like last episode.
Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. And now we can add Jerry Seinfeld to this list.
I mean, this news just broke last night, basically. Seinfeld is going to Netflix, and he's bringing Comedians of Cars with him.
Yeah, he's bringing friends.
He's bringing friends. So he's bringing a new season, which is set to start the end of 2017 of Comedians of Cars. I think 24-episode deal is going to start new on Netflix. Plus the entire archives of what, 8 seasons, if I'm not mistaken?
6 seasons, yeah.
Okay. 6 seasons of the archives. So it's basically, it sounds weird to say, but it kind of guts Crackle a little bit, because like, Crackle really had all the archives of Cars.
They have Super Mansion, you know, from Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they'll put out an original film, they have a new Charlie Sheen movie that's coming out.
Joe Dirt sequel.
Yeah, Joe Dirt 2 and stuff. So they have some properties, but this was their crowning jewel. Yeah.
Yeah, so Seinfeld jumping ship to Netflix. And in addition to Comedians of Cars, he's doing 2 new stand-up specials.
I know.
It's been years. Since Seinfeld, I want to say his last stand-up special was "I'm Telling You for the Last Time," which he put out right after the end of the Seinfeld TV show.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that 98, 99?
So that came out around the same time, and also the same time that comedian documentary came out, which was showing him getting the material ready for that.
Sure.
I don't think he's put out a special since then.
I don't think so.
So 2 new specials on Netflix, plus Comedians in Cars. Jerry Seinfeld's now over there. It's like,
who's left, right? So
talked about this. Yeah. Who's left? It's like,
Seinfeld was one of them, and now he's going.
Well, they also said the reason behind the Seinfeld move was Seinfeld, there were some Sony executives that Jerry's had a relationship with since his TV show.
Right.
They were over at Crackle. Well, they weren't over at Crackle. They were at Sony, and Sony
was licensing.
They have a controlling interest in Crackle. I don't know the deal, but they have a controlling interest of some sort, maybe ad revenue share or something like that. Those executives left Sony to go and do different things. One of them left and went over to run Snap Inc., which is the parent company of Snapchat. Mm-hmm. And I think Jerry just his guys weren't there anymore. So he's like, okay, I'll see what else is out there. And those guys left, and he just kind of went over to Netflix. And,
Netflix.
But then again, all his friends and his peers that are Jerry Seinfeld level, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Amy Schumer, who else is that peer of Jerry Seinfeld? And you know he's really good friends with Chris Rock.
Sure. Yeah, who's left? We got Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. and Kevin Hart maybe are the only like quote unquote big dogs.
Right.
Who else is who else hasn't put out an episode?
Yeah, see, you know, Gabriel Iglesias already did it. And, yeah. You know, he's obviously huge.
Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Fox already did a Netflix special. So it's like, who else is out there? Lisa Lampanelli is, but is Lisa Lampanelli?
She's epics, yeah.
But is she?
I feel like she's moved on. You
but
know,
is she Seinfeld level? Is she
no.
Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle level?
No.
Kevin Hart and Louis C.K. are the only other ones.
Could you imagine if Netflix made the announcement, Eddie Murphy returns?
Dude, I mean, like,
Eddie Murphy special coming to Netflix. Do you see that happening?
I would love the idea of an Eddie Murphy return. Now, granted, remember a couple of years ago, and we actually helped with the story that our buddy Frank, who runs Humor Mill magazine out on the West Coast, got wind that Eddie Murphy was coming down to do some stand-up at the store, I believe, the comedy store. We caught wind of the news. We posted the news. It turned out to be not real news, unfortunately. It turned out to be fake news. But was it before, like, we were named in, like, Hollywood Reporter, TMZ, literally every magazine, like, quoted, like, our story about this. And it was something everyone wanted. But I also think some people have said this before, that, like, it would be impossible for Eddie Murphy to mount a comeback this late in the game. Not because you can't do it, but because expectations would be so high, no matter what the fucking guy does, it can be like a flawless stand-up comedy special, and it's just like, eh, I wanted better. You know what I mean? Like, he almost can't win with a return. But if he were to return, Netflix is a damn well good place to do it.
Well, right, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a stand-up special, right? He could do something like a Comedians in Cars or some sort of place or some sort of outlet he can be funny and almost intertwine some stand-up with it or tease it or whatever. Just some sort of outlet for him, and then it would just be on Netflix. I mean, that's all that's left, man. I mean, left?
I don't know. There's nothing
left. Like,
there's no other big dog out there. I mean, really. Kevin Hart and Louis C.K. really. I mean, and you
like,
know,
who's the biggest still putting it on HBO?
And I would be surprised if, you know, tomorrow Louis said, hey, I'll do a Netflix special, and then he licenses it and sells the physical copies on his own website. I mean, he's done the same thing with HBO over the years, so why wouldn't he do... Like, that I could see having Louis do. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart, I could see doing a Chappelle, Chris Rock thing. That guy would...
Right.
But Kevin Hart's also...
But he also said he doesn't want to do it anymore.
But Kevin Hart also...
And he likes the theater aspect.
I was going to say,
he likes putting it out in the theater.
He's jumped beyond the TV. He's on movie screens now.
What about Martin Lawrence? He just started touring again.
He did. But again, is Martin Lawrence...
Sure.
Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Jerry Seinfeld level?
He's bigger than Chris Tucker, and he's...
Chris Tucker has a Netflix special.
Not as big as Chris Rock. But he... I don't know, man. I mean, Martin Lawrence in some...
They're talking about a Bad Boys 3.
In some capacity is that big. He is. He's not...
They got everyone. They got everyone, dude.
Martin
it's
Lawrence,
crazy.
I mean, Martin Lawrence pretty huge, man.
Dude, I'm not saying he's not huge.
You know what
huge,
it is? It's
but
just
I'm saying
he hasn't
like,
done anything in
if
a little
there were
while.
A Mount Rushmore of comedians, there's a good chance Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are on it.
But some of these people aren't going to make it that
early. Jerry Seinfeld is consistently the top of Forbes' most highest paid list. He was just usurped this year by Kevin Hart. Now, this Netflix deal might actually make that happen again. But like...
Sure.
I mean, like, if you have a Mount Rushmore of comedians, let's say it's five comedians, just to round out the number. Some of those guys are getting on there. Rock's getting on there. Chappelle's probably getting on there. Seinfeld might be on there. They got Pryor and Carlin.
I don't know. It's all arguable.
It is.
I mean, I don't know if Rock makes the cut.
You don't think? Okay. Chappelle, Seinfeld?
Pryor and Carlin.
Okay. Definitely Pryor, Carlin.
Right.
Who else? Bill Hicks.
But here's the thing about Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce.
Eddie Murphy?
Does Lenny Bruce make the cut just because he...
Yeah.
You know,
the,
what
the,
he
the
did.
It's,
yeah, yeah.
Joan Rivers?
There's too many names, man.
I know, but it sounds weird,
but I don't know if Chris Rock makes the cut.
But the point I'm trying to make is there are modern comedians right now that are in that argument.
Yeah,
that are
Kevin Hart, yeah.
That are in that debate, and they're all... on Netflix right now.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Well, we got to get to our interview here, but it is something it's super debatable.
We can debate this for 4 more podcasts.
Sure, but it's pretty wild, man. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld to Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, like, and just last week we were like, who's left? And it's like another one kind of shows up.
I will tell you this. As far as, I mean, look, Netflix is amazing for discovery. For people that aren't like you and I, Netflix has become the place of discovery for comedians become household names that are huge in the comedy community.
All on-demand streaming video is great for that. And sure. I think that's why people are flocking to it as much. CISO, Comedy Dynamics, Netflix. The reason that they're doing so well is because we had this conversation with Robert Kelly when he was on the podcast. Was like, someone can go hear about Robert Kelly, see an appearance he's done on radio, see him on Opie and Jimmy, or Jimmy and Opie and Anthony, or one of those shows, those radio shows, or see him make an appearance on Louis C.K.'s TV show, or watch him on Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, and be like, oh, that guy's a comedian. Instantly go to Netflix, type in Robert Kelly, boom, you have a special.
Right.
And that's a very alluring thing to a lot of comedians.
I will say, too, that I mean, HBO does kind of qualify for this, too, but of all the streaming services,
yeah,
in my opinion, Netflix is the best viewing experience because there's no commercials. You just turn on what you want. It happens.
Of course. And it's also how the comedian intends it.
Yeah.
Like if you're on Comedy Central, if you're on FX or one of those channels, like you have to throw in some commercials or limited commercial interruption.
Right. Or it might even be, you know,
or the whole thing sponsored by so-and-so. Like when Brian Regan did the Live from Radio City Music Hall special, they took a break about 25, 30 minutes in the middle of it. Brian's like, okay, we're going to take a break. So threw it to commercial, came back.
Yeah.
To me, get someone to pay for the whole hour. And just the whole hour, this is brought to you by commercial free, presented by BMW or whatever brand you want to talk about.
Right. Even if that pops up while the special
in the corner,
going on.
Yeah, yeah. Brought to you by so-and-so. A little Chiron in the corner. I think it's way easier than a commercial break. Sure. Now, granted, he might have wanted a commercial break. He might have wanted the chance to go to the bathroom or to get a drink of water or to check with the technical people to make sure it was all going right.
Sure. You know,
that kind of stuff. So who knows? But, I mean, a lot of live shows have breaks. All award shows have breaks. All sports program has breaks. So I don't think it was weird. But I think we're in an age where you can do whatever the fuck you want as long as it works for you and your fan base. Doug Stanhope's going to have a completely different approach to the planet and how he operates than, say, like an Amy Schumer.
Sure. In fact, Doug's new show on Comedy Central, High Court.
Doug Benson does have a new show on Comedy Central.
Sorry, poor transition.
Yeah, THC, The High Court.
Yeah, so this is stressing the point of what you were saying before. It's like a quick 15-minute thing. It's not like a full-blown
Adult Swim style.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And that's why Adult Swim's so cool, because like stoners, before they lose interest, the show's over.
Right. Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, true. All right, here's Christelle Alonzo, everyone. It's so cool to hang with her. She became an instant best friend. Love this lady.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So, like, one point, I wanted to do a Christmas card where I dressed all of my Apple products in a black turtleneck. And I wore it, too. And I would say, like, from our family to yours.
Right, right.
I had so many Apple products.
So does that mean I can pitch you and sell you on this new eye coffin that I just developed?
I would totally do it.
Yeah, you could charge yourself while you're dying. You just go in there and it actually slowly drains your battery.
That's hilarious. It's a nice subtle death.
Right.
You just die into oblivion slowly.
Right there in the eye coffin. So what got, was it the phone that got you, or was it the, were you an iPod person in the early days
the iPod.
Or what?
I love music. Actually, right. I don't like music. I love
You're
music.
You're obsessed with music. We're going to have so much to talk about. It's not even funny.
I can tell you that it's weird. I grew up loving TV. I love TV. But the older I get, the less I watch of it. And it's like, I don't watch a lot of TV now. People ask me about shows, and I feel so old and out of it because I don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
You know.
So where's the cutoff? Like what year?
You know, I'm
so I can you know flip the switch in my brain so I know. What well, not you know, to set you up for.
I don't know. It's weird. If I tell you the year, you're going to be like, oh, so when you were four? Like, you
know, like, no. It's all good. I watch Nick at Night during the day.
Me too.
So Mr. Ed, Green Acres, all that stuff.
I used to watch that all the
time. It's my jam. So.
When I was a kid, yeah. I was so obsessed with Nick at Night when they would show. It was like Patty Duke. Mm-hmm. It was Car 54, Where Are You?
Car 54, Where Are You?
Yeah. It was.
I'm right there with you, man. I was behind your couch.
Dragnet.
You just didn't know it. Yeah, Dragnet.
Dragnet was really cool. It was all those shows. And I remember, for me, the turnoff for Nick at Night was Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
For some reason, Mr. Ed never got me.
Was it the theme song? It was pretty bad.
Of course.
Like, get out of here, man.
Isn't it weird that when you hate things, you memorize them so easily?
I know.
You know, like, I will know the words of, like, the worst songs that annoy the hell out of me. But if I love a song, I'm like, I just can't remember.
All right, let's sing the all-time worst song together. Ready? I'll start it out. You finish up.
I was going to go with New Kids on the Block had a lot of hits. Chinese food makes me sick.
Oh my God. If I had an acoustic guitar in here, I'd play that for you right now. And we would finish that off.
I mean, that's pretty bad, isn't it? I would actually rank Annie
Steal
Lennox above that.
Steal My Sunshine. If you go back and watch that video, Steal My Sunshine from Len, Canadian band, by the way.
Yeah.
On the scooter that they're riding in on, there's a Vice sticker because Vice started in Canada.
Shut up.
And there's the Vice sticker on there. And so when that culture started coming down to the States,
that's
you know,
funny.
You look back and you're like, they're actually kind of cool.
That's
they were
funny.
Like way ahead of their time, you know?
Well, you know, it's kind of like when Fuse started.
Right.
I thought Fuse was better than MTV at that point.
Well, they were showing videos.
Yeah, and
it was
great. And you had people that actually knew the music.
Right.
It's kind of like, you remember like back in the day with MTV, I liked when they had Yo MTV Raps, and I liked when they had like Headbangers Ball, because everybody knew.
Who was your favorite host? Pinfield, Rackman?
Rackman was, like, for me, Rackman was fun.
He looked like the real deal.
Yeah,
right?
Well, because you saw him and you're like, oh, this guy knows it. Like, this guy lived
He was
it.
Waiting in line for the restroom for leftovers.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, hey, maybe they missed a line, you know?
I mean, there's something about him that I was like, that's when I loved MTV, when they would like do like 120 minutes and stuff and everything. And even with Beavis and Butthead, when they would cover videos that I didn't know, it's like you would learn all of these awesome bands. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's how I like, found out about Ween.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know about Ween until Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead really, they really curated an awesome array of music. Like that was kind of like the first playlist.
Mixtape?
Yeah.
Playlist? Yeah. Absolutely. It's a good way to look at it.
Pushing Little Daisies and make them come up.
And I was like, who are these guys?
Exactly. Pushing Little Daisies.
I want to do that for a living.
Yes.
That doesn't sound that great.
I know. I can do that.
Yeah, and then you find out they're actually amazing musicians.
Absolutely. Like, well, because it's not fun if you actually show good stuff.
Right.
Beavis and Butthead can't be just fans of amazing stuff.
And did we feel bad for anyone named Stewart during that whole time period? It's like, oh man, brutal, right?
So brutal.
I mean, did you run into any name issue? I mean, Christella's pretty, like, my wife's name is Zulai, which is,
that's a great name.
Yeah, crazy random, and like no one's got it, right? So it's,
I
like,
love that name.
Super conversational, no one's got it, there's no problems.
But when you're a kid, you can't buy anything personalized. You never have
That's
pencils
her biggest complaint.
Or like license plates or anything.
We
like,
go to Disney and she just walks in and goes, "Yeah, this is bullshit. Let's go over to the other place."
And, yeah, and you always get those like the well-meaning people that want to find a substitute, like
right.
a close substitute to your
Well, Disney. Xander, I mean, it has an X. No, but you say it like a Z.
That's totally it.
But like, it's a male. Just come on,
you
man.
You want to tell him, like, hey, you're being a dick. Like, hey, Sam, how about a Bill keychain? That's close, right?
Right?
Like, it's a dude.
Oh,
it's
man.
So insane. That's a great name.
Yeah, it's a good. Well, I should have said this when we very first started. You probably didn't even know I hit record, by the way.
No.
We're 6 minutes in, just so you know, in case you want me to redact anything. But Feliz cumpleaños, right?
Oh, thank you.
We do that?
Oh. Oh, look
was
at
was
you.
That close
that
enough?
That was good. good. That was good.
Con pollo, we'll throw some chicken on the side. How about we do that?
Con pollo.
Con pollo.
That's the name of my next special.
It's yours. It's yours. Just give me like a, like after the credits run out, like a black screen for like 8 seconds and then one more name, but
Feliz
really fast.
Cumpleaños con pollo sounds like something you'd get at Chili's.
Absolutely. like a new marketing manager came in, yeah, and he's like, here it is. It's my first move.
It's like spicy birthday cake. It's like a cake with some kind of salsa on it or something.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? The candles are chili peppers. They're lighting them. It's
everybody's like, oh my God, let's go to Chili's for the Feliz Cumpleaños.
Con pollo. What? It's kind of like it's the chicken of funfetti cake, right? It's like the same thing.
Did we just come up with a million dollar idea?
I think we're quitting everything that
we're
doing right now.
Can we go to Shark Tank?
Absolutely. I know a guy.
Mark Cuban was on my show.
That's right.
He can do it.
I saw him the other day in my neighborhood. He came out of a restaurant that's right around the corner where I live. And I was like, what are you doing in this neck of the woods? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that restaurant's actually super legit. So it was really good.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is very cool.
He could give us the money.
Absolutely. Yeah, he'd be a great tax write-off.
I know.
Right? You know,
dude. Just... helping Latino businesses?
Well, I'm trying to learn as much Spanish as I can because I figured since I married a Latino, I've got to learn Spanish because I can't have my kid talking behind my back to their mother. I can't have that,
I know.
Now, here's the other thing. I can speak German, so my wife doesn't know that I'm going to teach the kid German too so that I can play that card as well.
That's going to be a badass kid.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll be like, God, oh, you want to go Spanish at me? Fine, we're going German. We're going to Latin? Fine, we'll go old school, man.
I love that.
That'd be good, right?
That's
good combo.
Really cool.
I think that would be very cool.
I don't meet a lot of German-speaking people.
No. Well, no one speaks it anymore, especially here in New York City. It's like occasionally you'll run into somebody or you'll go to one of those beer halls and there's the crazy old guy. He's not going to commit to English. He's not going to do it.
This is my language.
But you forget most of it. But, I can still read it and say all the fun lines and stuff. So
it's weird. I tweeted something in Spanish yesterday and this guy, he was a troll. But I gave him credit because he tweeted in Spanish.
A troll with credit.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of weird.
Yeah, feeding the
beast.
But
he corrected my Spanish and he said, if you really want to represent the Latino community, learn how to speak Spanish correctly. In Spanish.
Now, did he write that out with a lisp, like Barcelona? like did he, do you know? Because like, what Spanish is he talking about?
Exactly.
Because China means orange in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
But that means China everywhere else, right? Yes. In so like, what are you talking about,
buddy?
Well,
and that's the thing is that like, I grew up in South Texas and our Spanish is very different. It's not even Spanglish or anything. It's its own kind of dialect.
Sure.
In a way. So
absolutely.
People back home understand me. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people when I speak Spanish, like, this is my Spanish, so I don't understand. Like, if you have questions, let me know, because especially like, even like Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, like, I find out that certain words that I say are bad words in their countries, and you're like,
I find that out too, the hard way.
I didn't mean to call you that. Like, I was really trying to say like steak, like whatever, you're just
steak,
like,
steak also means asshole.
Exactly. Right. Hey man, you're a prime rib asshole.
Pendejo. No, medium rare.
Exactly. You're like, oh God. And it's funny when people decide to criticize you and say that you're not good enough at being your person.
Yeah.
So that's... I even told him, I'm like, I wrote back. What did I write back? I said something like, it's weird. I guess my mom was fucking with me all those years and not understanding a word I was saying. You know what I mean?
Well, greatest heist ever.
Right? Exactly. Like, my mom's like, this is going on. I don't even know what she's saying. I just let her talk.
Let her go. Let her go. She'll find out. One day, I'll plant that seed and it'll grow. It'll grow. And here we are right now. You should have told them is just, hey, check the tweet. You'll see all the likes. Geo-target it. It's all going to be for South Texas, and you can kiss my ass.
It's really weird. It was like a really weird thing. I'm like, okay, all right.
Well, Cristela, you have a lot to celebrate besides just your funfetti birthday chicken.
Feliz cumpleaños con pollo, dude.
Con pollo. Oh, that's a t-shirt. We're making it. I'm going to send you one.
I kind of want one now.
I want one really bad.
Every time I hear someone say something cool, I always say that. I'm like, I want a t-shirt. Yeah.
That's what I do, too. That's
like,
so
if my
weird.
Closet... could be filled with
right. I mean, it'd be in someone else's closet at this point. Storage spaces. Give me the whole Manhattan mini storage.
My closet would look like the weirdest conversation you've ever fucking had. Like,
That'd be great.
I know.
What a great timeline. It would be just, and you could just tweet them all out in succession.
It's kind of like when comics, when you have certain comics that sell a lot of merch.
Right, right.
And you're like, my God, you're selling your set list. You know what I mean? Like, it's
pretty
just,
much.
You know, it's you know just what I mean? Like, you see the shirts and you're like, oh my God. Like, you see the people in the audience and you're like, do you just stare at the people in the audience and just know what order to do your jokes in? Like, right. There's so many shirts.
Yeah, it's like, why do you have a shirt that says potato racket on it? Yeah. Potato racket? What is that? It's like, oh, that's one of my bits.
Yes. You're like, this makes no sense.
Ty wrote it down on my phone, all right? Made a great t-shirt. Sold three of them.
That's what I think is hilarious when I see certain comics in their set list, yeah. And I'm like, squirrel farts? Oh, yeah, it's my political stuff. Yeah. You're like, what? Squirrel I don't even farts. Understand that.
Oh, my God, that's great. If I ever... I don't want to say I stay away from politics because it's impossible to avoid now.
Yeah.
But if and when I write a political pundit book, base book, I'm going to call it Squirrel Farts in your honor.
Squirrel Farts. What's wrong with America?
So back to what we got to celebrate for you. Let's go Cars 3 news.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes.
This is great. I'm super stoked because they're obviously going to have a Latina character in the fold here, and you get to
I think it's the first Latina character Pixar's had.
Yeah.
It's Pixar. Pretty... It's pretty cool. I've been working on it for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I got the job. I booked it last November.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember...
And you've had to keep this kind of bottled up, right?
I couldn't tell anybody.
You got to sign that
Like, I couldn't tell
waiver.
Anybody. Oh, it was insane.
Did you try to read it, at least? Like, the clause thing? Is it...
I always tell people, like iTunes, like the terms and conditions... They could have a clause that say I have to give you all my children, and I would be like, too much to read, fuck it, agree.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, we're all going to probably blow up and die anyway by the time anyone's...
Except, let's just get my wham going.
Sure.
That's me. No, the call came, I got the call that they wanted to meet with me, and they wouldn't even tell me why. They just wanted to meet, and it was so...
It's cryptic.
It was really like Illuminati kind of stuff, And so I showed up. They flew me up for a day, and that's when they told me about the movie. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I would love... Like, they told me the story. I'm like, I would love to be in it. And I auditioned for it there on the spot, which I wasn't really expecting.
Sure.
Then I went to do a tour of Canada for Just for Laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was the first day I was in Canada, my identity got stolen, and they
Classic
had to
Classic Canada.
Mm-hmm. That's so Canada, mm-hmm. with their Vice stickers and their stolen
free insurance
identities.
And our everything's the best.
my identity got stolen, and the bank had to close all my cards.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was in Canada with
no money. Yeah.
Like, whatever cash I had was the only cash I had, and I had to have my family send me stuff.
Like,
and,
via bird or something? I couldn't even do the wire transfer?
Yeah. Like, done, right?
Yeah.
And I was feeling really miserable because I think I was with Wells Fargo at the time, and I found that they had a location in Canada, and I remember, like, I walked, it was miles, a couple miles to get there, and then when I got there, it was a real estate office, and did no banking. It was all just, like, corporate stuff. And I was like, oh, fuck you, because, like, you walk, I have no money, because, I didn't want to spend money on a cab, which is why I walked, because I didn't want to spend the money.
That was all you had, man.
You know what I mean? So I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to walk. And then when you get there, you're like, ah, you're a corporate office? Oh,
that's so weird that happened to you. When I moved to New York City, I was living in Atlanta prior to that just for a smidge, and I was a Bank of America person.
Yeah.
And I came here, I was like, oh, there's no bank. Oh, no, there's one. There's a big one. Same thing happened. I went over there, and it was a big corporate office.
Yes, and you're like...
And I was like, oh, I guess I'm changing banks.
Yes.
And I changed banks like that day.
You mean to the Chase? Like, in New York, Chase has a Chase inside of them.
It does. you go to the ATM, you punch in your code, and then that just opens up, and you go inside the ATM to get to the actual Chase ATM. And they close it behind you, make sure no one fucks with you. Yeah.
I remember I saw that corporate office, and I felt so bad because I felt broke. I was technically poor. With no money, like whatever.
In a foreign country. Yeah.
And then I get the call saying that I booked it. And I was like so excited. And I get, you know, I get money, whatever. I do the tour was 2 weeks. I couldn't tell anybody. So I was like really excited, but I couldn't tell anybody why I was so excited.
Sure.
And I mean, I went back to Pixar. They gave me a tour of Pixar. And even before they gave me the tour of Pixar, I had to sign all these documents saying I couldn't talk about what I was going to see.
Right. Because there's, all the stuff's going on. They're working on
it. I can't take pictures. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I was just like, but like over a year, I've been doing it over a year and they would fly me up from LA to Oakland, like a commute every day, for a certain amount of time. And people started wondering, like, what are you doing in Oakland? You know, and you couldn't even tell them like what you were doing.
You're like a medical staff for the Warriors. They needed a
exactly.
Curry's ankles aren't doing too well, so they brought me in.
Curry just likes me to do 5 minutes before the game.
Oh my god, that'd be so. Oh, if I ever made it to the NBA,
dude,
the things I would demand. Yeah, I need Christelle in here, man.
I know.
My jumper was off last 2 weeks.
I don't know. Give me something about chicken. Oh, you mean Feliz Cumpleaños con Pollo?
Yeah.
It was weird because after the show got canceled in what? Like, I want to say May. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing the road to work on the hour for the special.
Sure.
And then I did Netflix. And when people would ask me what I was up to, I would always just talk about the special.
Right.
And everybody would look at me like, don't worry, you're going to be fine. One of these days, something's going to hit and you're going to be good. And I was like, oh, I'm not sad about it. I'm good. I'm fine. And in my mind, I kept thinking, God, I really do need to do something with myself. And then I remember like, oh, you're doing Pixar. Like, that's pretty cool.
We're in the clear.
And it's a pretty cool character. I mean, it actually, I think.
Cruz, right? Do we have a
Cruz
name
Ramirez,
on this?
Yeah. Cruz Ramirez. And the character ended up growing the more times I went up there.
Oh,
so
cool.
So it became this
the role
really...
just started expanding and expanding.
Yeah. So...
Oh, you're going to have Christmas ornaments and you're going to have costumes.
I did a voice for a toy.
Yes, like, you did. Oh my God, that's the best.
I'm a talking toy.
That's... Congratulations.
Maybe Disneyland will add me to the rides.
Maybe.
I can't say much, but maybe.
For those who are just listening, which hopefully is all of you, because if you're spying on us from some weird window at this current location, that's really creepy. But she did use air quotes, so we'll clarify the air. Maybe she'll be a part of the ride. Oh, man. What a cool experience, and we're all going to be able to enjoy that, you know, soon.
It's awesome.
Which is really, really cool. And then I'm glad you brought up the special, because that's happening in but a few weeks' time.
Comes out on the 24th.
A fortnight? Is a fortnight 2 weeks?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm not good at historical math.
Neither am I. I was just like trying to sound cool.
I think it might be a fortnight.
Is it 2 weeks?
I think
it's 2 weeks a fortnight? So it's about, you're about 2 weeks. You're 24th, right? January 24th.
You know what I like is that we wondered and neither one of us checked
on our
phone.
Right?
Which is kind of old school.
We're old school.
We're just like, you know what? Let's just say it's 2 weeks and move on with
it. Let me call my mom and check those Encyclopedia Britannicas that are collecting dust on the shelves that she poorly invested in back in 1986.
I do a joke about encyclopedias in
my
special.
I know. I know you do. I know. I thought I'd throw a little tease out there.
It's so true. It's like,
So the new special, Lower 24th. Classy.
Yes.
Coming to Netflix. Very cool.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about it? Because, you know, you finally get this thing off your chest and you're like, it's going to get out there soon. Are you going to? Because it's not like it's a late night set where everyone's going to get around to watch, because it's streaming. It's like 12:01 a.m.,
you know,
local time. Here it goes. Are you going to be calling everyone at 12:01? Like, why aren't you watching it?
You know that I actually, I try to do really well with promoting my stuff, but I think a lot of my friends, a lot of like comic friends, I find we're never satisfied with what the work is.
Right.
So I'm excited that it's coming out, but you always feel like
you have new tags for half the bits.
Yeah,
already.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, and I don't like seeing myself, so it was really hard to edit it because you're seeing yourself. Yeah. You're like, oh. That voice.
What's worse for you, seeing yourself or hearing your own voice? Because now,
because
you had
voice.
Both through the Pixar experience and the Netflix thing.
So
you're in the Pixar studios, wherever they are, you know, doing your VO.
Yeah.
First of all, how'd you dress? Do you go in PJs?
Yeah.
Do you take advantage of that?
Yeah.
You did.
Didn't
you?
I did.
Of course you
totally did.
Because you're the best. That's what the best does. They go in the PJs.
I was like, I'm not. Who am I trying to impress?
Yeah, no one. No one. You're just going there.
I already got the job.
Cool. So, but and they would do playback and say, hey, can you give me more of this or whatever? You know, that whole experience. So was that frustratingly weird?
I never heard my voice.
Never once, really?
Nope.
They never played anything back for you.
Mm-mm.
Wow, you could literally burp into a microphone and then they can just do the rest of the whole movie for you. No words.
Like, I had that no. It was so
no
weird.
Not one playback.
Not one playback.
That is crazy.
The entire time.
I did not know they did that.
No. And it's weird because.
That is mind blowing.
Well, you know, and also, I never got the script ahead of time.
Right.
So I always did cold reads the day that I was there. So I never. It wasn't until about maybe, oh God, I would say like 6 months in or something, that I finally told them at a session, like, can I tell you what I think the story is so that I can see how far off I am?
Right.
And I told them my version and they were dying. They're like, that's not even close to what it is. I'm like,
that involves trucks. This is cars.
Cars. And then the soldiers come in and the war begins.
Right.
It's Terminator 2 for kids. It's
now did they let you have any say in the character as far as like what kind of car it was? Well, I guess not, because they had a priority been developing all
but that. I did get to have a say in her character a lot. That was one thing that I really liked about Pixar. Pixar is very cool at if you give them notes or you tell them something feels inauthentic, they change it immediately, which I thought was very cool.
That's awesome.
You know, and also I think that
who does that?
No one.
Yeah, nobody.
John Lasseter, the head of Pixar.
Yeah, who's that?
Have you heard of him? He came in at a session, and when we met, he was really into my life story. And he found my life story so interesting that he actually used a lot of aspects of my life story into this character. Because it was a very, he was like, that story just sounds like a Pixar story. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, so there were like certain elements, just personality and, you know, that he really liked. And we started focusing more on that. And Pixar was just, I mean, they're just like an amazing company to work with. You know what I mean?
You know how to pull the heartstrings, man. You watch Up that first 10 minutes.
Do you know that? I never really watched, you know, like a lot of animated movies. And my friend, he's a comic in Dallas, Paul Varghese. He was like, you got to see Up. And for like a guy comic to tell you, like, you got to see Up, you're like, you serious?
That's like La La Land.
Yeah.
Christella?
Exactly.
I can't tell you enough. Yes. You've got to see La La Land.
He's like, you guys see Up.
Yeah.
And I waited months and he's like, dude, have you seen Up? And I'm like, no, man. And then he's like, dude, you got to see Up. And I was like, okay. Then he said, first 10 minutes, you're going to bawl like a baby. And I'm like, wait a minute. How does a cartoon make you cry? And I sat
tell
down.
Tell me you didn't cry.
Dude. Dude, I like want to start crying remembering how much I cried. Like,
I'm
insane.
Sorry I brought it up. It's brutal.
That's the magic of Pixar is that you watch them
the best.
And you have those moments where you're like, wow, how does a cartoon make you think? How does an animated film make you think? And then you realize it's not a cartoon. It's a movie that's just animated. It
just happens to be animated, yeah.
It's kind of like, I love Doctor Who.
Oh, my God, are we best friends? I'm not kidding you.
I love Doctor Who.
I'm obsessed with Doctor Who.
And I tell people
favorite doctor?
All the time.
Tennant.
Yeah.
We're good.
Well, you know what's funny is that the 10th is my favorite.
Yeah.
And one of the co-stars on my show, Andrew Leeds, did a pilot with David Tennant for NBC years ago.
Okay.
And he found out that I was like a big Doctor Who fan.
Oh no.
So he invited David Tennant to one of the tapings of my show and didn't tell me.
Oh, the best.
So
what a move.
So we taped,
what a move.
Like we taped the whole show.
Sure.
And I saw him like halfway through and I thought, wait a minute, do you love Doctor Who so much that you're like seeing David Tennant? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, is David Tennant?
Christelle, I'm not gonna lie, that's bad. That's bad.
You know what
You've
mean?
Got
like,
it was, bad. Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, we're shooting this, and I feel like I see David Tennant there. Like, is that the 10th Doctor? I'm like, this is so weird. And after the taping, Andrew brought David Tennant to where I was, and I wasn't expecting, like, I freaked out. I couldn't be near him. Like, I couldn't be near him. I ran around him like I'm doing, like a fire drill. Like, sure.
You're circling a sweater you might purchase.
it was so insane. And I kept just... It was like I had just won both showcase showdowns on The Price is Right. Like,
you know, by betting a dollar?
Yes. You killed it, yes. It was so insane. I was running around him, and I'm like, and it, like, I could... I started bawling just, like, from meeting him. Point that I was saying about Doctor Who, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I've been derailing every single thing coming out of your mouth.
This is what we do.
We had the same childhood. Yeah, okay.
But people that don't watch Doctor Who don't understand that in Doctor Who, there's so many amazing lessons and just lines about humanity.
Yeah, humanity, yeah.
And it's like one of those things where if you're not familiar, you don't think that a sci-fi show would ever have anything like that, especially if you're not familiar and you watch an episode, you're like, are these mannequins moving? You know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, they are, actually. You have these little nuggets that when you hear them, you're like, wow.
It's profound stuff.
Yeah, in Doctor Who.
Sure.
And that's the same feeling I got from Pixar. That it was like certain lines that kind of teach you about life, and you don't expect them to come from that source. So when they do, it kind of knocks you out because you don't expect to be so moved by Doctor Who or by Up or, you know, like, just in theory. Because, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of projects out there that don't have that heart. And it's so hard to find projects that have heart. So when you find them, you're like, wow, that's amazing. And not only because I love sci-fi, you know, it's like, for me, just the lines that you hear, you're just like, wow, you want to tell everybody, like, you're missing out on this beautiful, amazing story.
Well, because it gets all overshadowed or pigeonholed, like you said.
Yeah.
And there's so many subtleties too in Doctor Who with the whole, like, not using a gun thing and, like,
absolutely.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, you could go on forever and ever too. And it's just an awesome show anyway. I mean, it's so good.
It is, you know.
So you eventually gave him a hug. I can only hope.
I did.
You just don't remember any of it.
It's kind of fuzzy. Honestly, it really was. I never thought I was ever going to meet him, and I wasn't ready, so I...
But that's the best time to meet
someone. Of course.
You're not overthinking it.
It was, like, so raw and so everything that I just...
Whatever's coming out, it's going to come out. You can't think about it.
I couldn't believe that I was so affected by having him so close to me, to the point where, like, it's weird when you like someone so much that you can't be near them, you know?
It's kind of weird. Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of like a... Like, I love Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I could never be near Billy Joel.
Yeah, you just kind of have to set that aside.
You also don't want him to be a dick.
There's that, too. You know? And look, everyone has a bad day, too. Even if the nicest person on earth is going to have a bad day.
I'm into basketball. I met a basketball player that I like that I won't name.
Okay.
And
can you give me a team or an era? Or
I can't.
You can tell me offline.
But I didn't want to meet him because I figured... He plays well, but I thought there's kind of a weird thing about him. Then I met him and it went totally off the rails. Like, I'm like, I shouldn't have met him.
I'm going to guess who this person is. Not now. We'll do it after. Once we stop recording, I have a pretty good feeling.
But it was just kind of like, that was a perfect example of how, like, you just...
You know what I mean? Not happening. Just keep shooting the ball. I'll keep watching on TV.
Exactly.
So who's your team then? Who's your team?
Oh, I'm season ticket holder for Clippers.
That's great. My favorite thing about going out to LA, especially when they stunk, was grabbing a Clipper ticket day of, and you would sit, like, courtside for like $10.
That's why I started going. When I first moved to LA, they were so bad.
Yep.
I refuse to be a Lakers fan.
Good.
Because they're so expensive that I'm like, I just couldn't afford to go see a game, so why am I a fan of a team I could never see live? Clippers back in the day when I moved to LA, it was like buy one, get four free.
It's so great.
You know what I mean?
It's like Cleveland Browns tickets right now. Yeah,
yeah, sure. I know.
My family's like, we're not going to watch football for, I don't know, going on 25 years.
Dude, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, well,
and
you're,
like,
in good shape
this year.
Finally,
when you go two decades of what we've been going through, you're just like, I was talking to one of my friends who's a fellow Cowboys fan, and we're like, they're doing so well that we don't know how to react to them being so good. You know what I mean? Sure.
Like, yeah, it's a weird feeling. Cavs, like, same thing. Cavs, same thing.
Yes.
They're like, they won, and it was like, what do we do? We had to call people who were fans of teams that won, you know? So you'd be like, what's the next move? I don't want to be the guy who did it wrong.
I know.
Just let me know.
Exactly. It's insane. It's just
like, now, there's a really cool Dallas Cowboy fact that has to do with Cleveland, actually.
Oh.
And there was a quarterback, Bernie Kosar.
Uh-huh.
You remember Bernie Kosar? Who played for the Browns forever. You know, Denver ruined my childhood. You know, 3 out of 4 years in a row at the AFC Championship game. And Bernie Kosar eventually got traded to the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. and it was the end of his career. And this is how cool Dallas was to Bernie, is that last championship they won, they let him take the final snap and do the kneel down to run the clock out. And he got his ring.
That is classy.
And he got his ring.
That is classy.
So I respect the Dallas Cowboys forever for that. So.
Well, that's kind of what you hope with the whole Romo thing this year. Like, that's the only reason I want us to go to the Super Bowl, because I want him to get the ring.
You do.
Like, you know what
you
I mean?
Do.
Just because it was, I mean, he's been our quarterback forever.
You don't like the fumbled snap and the stumbling into the
end zone. You know, he's so inconsistent. He's so inconsistent, but when he nails it, when he plays well for the 2 minutes, he's beautiful
during
to watch.
Warm-ups.
He's beautiful warm-ups. To watch. When no one's on the field. And he shoots and he passes and he throws the ball through that tire that no one sees.
Right. No one videotaped that? What? Storage fool. God damn it. Man.
I love that we've been talking about everything except my special.
Don't say that.
No, I'm kidding.
Your PR person just came in. No, I'm just kidding. We've been talking about
it
a bunch.
I go off on tangents. It just turns out we have a lot in common.
We do. It's almost too much. I'm like, what's next?
I know.
We are related. Favorite bands. We haven't talked about music yet, so let's do that before we get out of here.
Okay, let's see. Well, I love Guns N' Roses, which is why I like your shirt. I think that they were a great band at the time that they were around.
Right.
I love Foo Fighters because I think Foo Fighters is, for me, Foo Fighters is like the last popular band. Like rock, yeah, you know, that plays instruments. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that we have
goes
to say that.
Goes out there and owns it.
Like, the fact that, like, Grohl is such a badass. Like, he goes out there with his gum. Like, play, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I was born in the same hospital as Dave Grohl.
Oh, no kidding. He lives near where I live. Well, where I used to live. And you can see him in the neighborhood all the time. He has a cousin.
He's cool, man.
He has a cousin that does stand-up.
Oh, he does? And, oh, I didn't realize that.
And he has actually gone out to clubs to see his cousin do stand-up. He's great. So,
he's
like,
so cool.
Foo Fighters. Yep. And I also like that they don't take themselves seriously.
Right.
Like, the videos
Goofy
and everything.
Videos,
yeah, you know what I mean?
And they're
they
great
know
on
what
stage.
They are.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they're cool. Mm-hmm. I grew up with hair bands. So, like, for me, I always loved Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil. I think that
Shout.
Was, like...
Shout!
Looks at Kill, like, are you kidding
Shout
me? Like, all those
devil.
Songs are so great.
Sure.
That, as a kid, I loved Iron Maiden because I just loved Eddie so much. The existence of Eddie was kind of fun.
Run to the hills, run for your
as
life.
As his
Come
wings
on, sing it,
turn to ashes, from ashes to flames.
That's so good.
You know, so, and obviously, like, the basics, like, you know, Metallica is always great.
Sure.
But for, like, a Metallica fan, like, the best songs are usually the ones you never hear on the radio because
right.
they're so long.
Track 7, Ride the Lightning. Let's do this. Punch it, Chewy.
But for me, it's like I like music so much. I listened. I average a minimum of like 3 hours a day of just listening back to back because I love it so much that I'm that person that hates when people say I like all kinds, even country.
Yeah, it's included in all kinds.
Oh, you mean that music? Yeah, you mean music like
great
that's
musicians
all kinds
too. All those country musicians.
The, there's some great ones.
Sure.
Now they sound way too poppy. Right. So when you hear the old school,
the Hank Williams or OGs. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh man, how did that change so much? But if you love music, you can find something great in every genre.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Oh, man. Next time you're in New York, because we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I'm going to specifically set up a show of my band for you to come and hang out and see. It's a female-fronted hard rock metal group.
Oh, shut up.
You're going to be obsessed.
Shut
it's
up.
Awesome. And yeah, the person mixing our new album did the like the last two Blondie records and like Paramore's big album, the Pre-Reckless stuff.
Oh
so
my god,
it's super legit.
I would love
you're gonna,
that.
You're gonna love it.
Oh,
yeah, I'll send it to
awesome.
You as soon as it's done. As
oh
as
my
done.
God, yes, yes,
it.
Yes.
It's gonna be really good. This was awesome. And why did I only ask for a half an hour?
I don't know.
I meant half the year. I see a key on that door over there too. I can break it off. I look skinny, but I got strong fingers.
I know. We have a lot.
Yeah,
like,
this is crazy
this
awesome.
Is awesome.
This is really awesome.
This is awesome.
And no one else can see us, too, but you matched your nail polish to your Adidas warm-up suit here, which is just the tip of the iceberg.
I know. I'm like a Mexican Missy Elliott. Get your freak on. Get your... Is sure feminist man? Yeah.
Oh man, the publicist missed all the fun. You know, we have a new restaurant that's going to be opening up very soon with a featured
Feliz
item.
Feliz cumpleaños con pollo.
It's going to be it's the funfetti of chicken, Jennifer. It's the funfetti of chicken.
Chicken?
Yeah, with chicken. Yeah, it's going to be good.
I kind of want a shirt that says the funfetti of chicken. Just it, like you
we're going to make that shirt.
Oh, okay,
we're going to get that
it.
Shirt made. We're
What's
gonna
the name of your band?
Thrill Driver.
Not anymore. It's
not
funfetti
anymore.
With chicken.
Well, Thrill Driver is taken in Mexico, so we do have to use a pseudonym when we go down there to play. So we'll go with that. We'll go.
All the Mexicans will be like, yeah. ¿Qué es funfetti? Yeah. ¿Qué es the funfetti?
I thought I was going to see Puya, man. What is this? This is not what I came for. Worst Mexican accent of all time. So
I have no
so
idea
sorry.
What that was. That's okay, though. You
I do
speak
have,
German. You speak
I,
German.
Correct. And I do own a Star Wars t-shirt.
Oh, the Star Wars. Yeah, the Star Wars.
Classic, which is classic. Awesome. All right. This was amazing. Oh, my God. Best friends forever.
I know.
BFFs.
All
right. Congratulations on all the success you've ever had. Much continued success. Of course, your brand new Netflix special, Lower Classy's, coming out January 24th. We're super stoked for that. Cars 3.
Comes out in
or
June.
Or Trace, if you're local. And don't correct me on my Twitter Spanish, because that is spot on.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. It's like course, I was listening to my dad.
and of course, everything else that's coming our way from you, which you're performing on stage all the time, you know, crushing the stand up as always. So and finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Encyclopedia Britannica.
Doctor Who.
And everything else we plugged that we obsessed with, Guns N' Roses reunion tour and everything.
I like that we have the same favorite doctor, but that's a pretty common one.
Well, it is. But so here's how this will be the decider, and we'll close on this. Who's your favorite companion? I mean, I'm gonna call you as a rose person, because most girls are, especially with all the heart we've been talking about.
So
I'd be surprised if it wasn't Rose, but maybe you're gonna throw me a curveball and give me like Amy Pond or something.
I like Rose.
Yeah of course you do. Read you like a picture book. We're out.
All right,
we want to thank our guest, Christelle Alonso, for joining us. She was awesome, man.
Yeah.
I wish you were there for that one, Matt. She was just a firecracker, man. She's just
sometimes the interviews need to go on, regardless of Matt's schedule.
I know. She was great, man. Just loved hanging with her. She's very cool. And everyone check her out. And obviously, Cars 3. And speaking of Netflix specials, Christelle Alonso's Netflix special comes out this coming Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's called Lower Classy. Which
Lower
I think is
classic.
Which is a very funny title.
That's a good title.
And I've watched it twice already. It's really good. Everyone's going to like it. It's very, very funny. And there's even an Encyclopedia Britannica reference in there for you, for your old schoolers. So you'll appreciate
old heads.
It. Yes. It's a great joke. But that's going to do it. Be sure to follow us on all the socials at the Laugh Button. You can follow Matt personally. I am Kleinschmidt. I am at Mark Says Hi. And shoot us a note if you want. All you have to do is email us podcast@thelaughbutton.com. And of course, go to thelaughbutton.com for the latest in news, interviews, reviews, and everything happening in the world of comedy. And we've got some great podcasts coming up, including Stephen Lynch, who's right around the corner, and our good buddy Mike Palasak, and a bunch of others. It's going to be a good time right here on the TL. What do we want to call this for short?
Podcast. TLB Podcast. There you go.
TLBP?
We'll be WTF TLB.
TLBP?
That's terrible.
Yeah, I guess you can't use the word P anymore. I can't say P
TLB,
these days.
TLB podcast.
By the way.
Not pod. You love calling it pod. TLB pod.
Yeah, TLB pod, man.
New ep of the pod.
New ep.
Of the pod.
Of the pod. I just watched for maybe the 10th time that cold open for SNL with Alec Baldwin. Like, just
the press conference is good.
So fucking good, man. SNL's like, I don't want to say SNL's back because it never went anywhere.
It always has a little uptick during the political seasons.
It has defeated the, oh, Meyer was the best. It's just so good right now. It's so good,
dude.
Right now.
Whatever. I'm a purist. I love SNL. I always make the argument that it's always consistently good. It's just when you kind of, it's just people tune in and tune out at certain points of their life, and the points that you remember the most. You know, you don't remember the shitty. There was just as many shitty sketches when you know
Dan Aykroyd was doing
when all those guys were doing it. Watch. I challenge you to go back and watch the first season of SNL and tell me
how much
that it's not better now. Because the first, like, they didn't know what they're doing. All the sketches were in a black box. Like, you couldn't. There's no sets. Musicians performed half of it. Like the George Harrison episode in the first season, he performed like six times. Like, go back and watch them. The nostalgia of SNL is not as big as you think it is. Go back and watch those eps.
All right, that's gonna do it. We'll talk to you next
time. For the TLB Pod.
No, TLBP.
Ep of the Pod.
Ep of the Pod.